Great night. We love baptisms around here. It's good fun and great rejoicing. I've had a kind of a weird journey in certain parts of my life, and I guess we have this main journey through life, but it's got different tributaries to it, and one of them has been a weird journey with death. I've never liked the idea of dying. I don't know about you, but it just doesn't fit well with me. And as a kid, I didn't like it. I'm a Cold War kid, which dates me, I know, but I grew up in the belief that one day we would nuke the world to death, that the Russians and the Americans would, and possibly the Chinese, would kind of just get things so badly wrong that we would blow ourselves to smithereens. Even when I was away studying to be a minister, we lived in a place called Northwood, and we knew jolly well that the Russians had a nuclear warhead trained on Northwood. That's not because of the people who were trained to be ministers there, although some of us should have been new. Never mind. It was because HMS Warrior is in Northwood, and they reckon HMS Warrior below ground is more than twice as big as it is above ground. HMS Warrior is the NATO headquarters. So when the Russians invaded Afghanistan in the early 80s and the Cold War reached new heights and became almost our hot war, we just kind of knew that if we were going to stick around Northwood, if things went kind of pear-shaped, then you know it wouldn't be very long before we were diving under our chairs for no reason whatsoever other than you know, we were going to die. And it bothered me. It really bothered me. I had amazing inner emotional and spiritual battles with death. I envied old people. I knew they'd lived through two world wars, but at least they'd lived. And it was only growing in faith that I kind of grew to a place where I really began to trust God and trust that my life is safe in his hands. But I've got to be honest with you and say, I still have this weird kind of journey, this odyssey with death. So preparing for tonight, I was on a website, and I don't go on this website every day, just so you know. And it's not one of my favourites, but it's called Crazy Coffins. So just thought it might be quite interesting. You might not want to know about this, so if you're really struggling with it, just look down. Or just go and grab an early coffee or something. But here's one crazy coffin. I don't know who would choose this kind of coffin. Maybe an ex-hippie or I don't know, somebody who likes sunflowers. I like the French name for sunflower. It's tournesol, turn to the sun. That's nice, isn't it? Sunflowers. So that's one. So maybe there's another one. This is... So if you're into Mercedes, fine. I've been told by my staff I'm not allowed a Mercedes, even if I am a member of the national leadership team of the Free Methodist Church. This is the way I'm going to get a Mercedes when I die, okay? If you're into Macs and iPhones, then here's one for you. And then if you're into music like Mr. Monk has shared tonight, this is one for you. Now, that actually is a coffin, and I did look at the dimensions, and trust me, you can get a whole music group in that. Not that we'd want to, but you can. And then last, but by no means least, and probably very poignant, that actually is a coffin, so... But probably you were looking at the pictures and you missed the very unsubtle subliminal message right through that, which simply asked you a question. Am I going to die? I don't know what you like with road signs or road markings, but some of you might be able to tell me, when you see that, what do you think? What goes through your head? Stop, somebody said. Who's just recently passed their test? Right, Angela, what does it mean? Pardon? Unless it's clear. Do not enter the box unless the exit is clear. Okay, have you got that? Do not enter the box unless the exit is clear. So here's another road sign for you. Now let's look at this story that Sean read. The story of the Philippian jailer. I guess he had a close encounter that night. I've had quite a few close encounters with death. When I was 16, a friend and I discovered how we could make homemade bombs, which were great fun. Never thought they might kill us till one actually blew up in our hands, and it blew some of his fingers off and blew us across the garden shed that we were making bombs in, and very nearly did kill us. In fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord why only half the mixture of the biggest bomb we'd actually made went off. I still believe God's hand was on us that night, but it was a close encounter. When I was 21, I managed to wrap up three cars in one go. That was another pretty close encounter. But this night, this Philippian jailer's night, must have been a close encounter. He's gone to sleep on the job, so I don't know what it was with Paul and Silas' singing, but there they are. They've been beaten and flogged severely. I don't know what that means to you, but usually they weren't that humane about floggings. To be beaten and flogged severely. They're chained into the cell, and they're in the deepest part of the cell because the jailer has been told, you must guard them carefully. I guess what we would say today is guard these men with your life. And he actually believed that. But they've been singing at midnight and worshipping God, and I guess if you're a Philippian jailer, you're thinking, who on earth are these Christians? Oh, how when they've been flogged so severely, they're at midnight, keeping all the other prisoners awake who seem to be enjoying it, but they're worshipping Jesus. They're singing praise and psalms to God. And you fall asleep. And you're woken by an almighty earthquake. Now, I've only been in a slight earth tremor. I think we were in Comet Electrical Goods Shop in Lancaster when the earth shook and it did that. Now, I can't remember whether it was because they just told me the price of the washing machine we're about to buy, but I found out later that it genuinely was an earth tremor in Lancaster, of all places. But I guess if you're in the middle of a real earthquake, there is one question you will ask. Am I going to die? Is this it for me? And as he woke up and he rubbed his eyes and fear filled his life, maybe that was in his heart. You know, it's a great question to ask. I dare you to look in the mirror and look at the person who's looking at you and say, am I going to die? Because there's only one answer. If Jesus doesn't come again, as he's promised one day he will, if he doesn't, then one day the answer to that question is yes. We're all going to die. And sometimes we just have to be realistic about that and honest about it and brave enough to answer and say, yeah, I am. So what am I going to do about it? Don't enter the box unless your exit is clear. Now, in those moments when he realizes that actually the earthquake's passed and he's not going to die, his question changes to more of a statement. Not am I going to die, because when he sees that chains have come off walls and prisoners are free and doors are open in the prison cells, he moves from am I going to die to I am going to die. Why? Because he's been told, guard these prisoners carefully. In those moments, he makes an assumption that if chains are off walls and prison doors are open, the prisoners have fled. What would you do if you were a prisoner? You're free to go. Just go. And so he believes, I am going to die. And so he's going to kill himself. Now, why would you kill yourself? And the reason is this. In the days of Roman soldiers, a Roman who failed in his guard duty was he was put to death. You can read in Acts chapter 12 when Peter is released from prison by an angel, that the following day when they found that Peter's missing from the prison, the guards are immediately executed. When the guards who guarded the tomb, when Jesus had died and he was sealed in the tomb, and the priests wanted to cover up the resurrection, they bought the prison, the governors off with money, to get the soldiers to be able to say that the disciples had stole his body. If they hadn't have done that with money and bribed them, those guards would have died too. So the prison guard, the jailer in Philippi, he wakes up and maybe thinks, am I going to die? And then he knows, prisoners have got free, I am going to die. So rather than be executed, I'll take my own life. And he's just about to take his own life when Paul shouts out, stop, don't. Don't kill yourself. There's no need. We are all here. What kind of prisoners have I got? The jailer asks himself. We're all here. Don't kill yourself. There's no need to kill yourself. So he's moved from, am I going to die, to, I am going to die. Now he's saying to himself, phew, I'm not going to die. Everything's okay. I'm saved. Amazing story. I just love that story. I love reading it. I love digging into it. And then I think, his next question's a bit crazy. Because he's safe. All the prisoners are present and correct. His guard duty is done. He's not going to die. And then he looks at Paul and Paul's friend Silas, and he says these amazing words. What must I do to be saved? Wow. Hang on a minute. You're alive. You're saved. You're not going to die. Why do you ask that question? I guess sometimes moments change us. And I don't know what it was for the Philippian jailer. Maybe it was the guy singing at midnight. Maybe it was the fact that none of the prisoners had fled when they had their chance. The fact that he now had a new lease on life. Maybe something focused him to the point that he realized that his life was not about death. It wasn't about dying. It wasn't about escaping death. His life needed to be about something that Paul and Silas had been singing about. And this question about being saved is not about how do I spare my own life. It's actually whatever you guys have got, whatever this salvation you've been singing about tonight is, I want that for me. Not just want it, I need it for me. So please tell me, what must I do to be saved? He's already safe, but he's not saved. His life is spared, but he now realizes that there's something that he needs that is way beyond his physical life, and it's everything to do with the Jesus that Paul and Silas have been singing about. And so he asks this question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul gives him a very clear, very powerful, very simple answer. And immediately looks at the jailer and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And Paul tells him about Jesus. And I guess Paul told him about how the Son of God became a man. How the Son of God lived a perfect life. How the Son of God died on a cruel cross and took the jailer's place for all the wrong that he was as a sinner and all the wrong that he'd done as a sinner and the justice and the punishment that deserved. Jesus took that when he died on the cross. But he said, believe on the Lord Jesus. So I guess Paul would have said amazing things about Jesus rising from the dead. And saying, you need to understand that this Jesus who was God became man was killed in your place. But he rose again from the dead. So you don't have to die. He became like the first of the resurrection from the dead. And the reason he became the first is so that we could know that we would rise from the dead too. Do not enter the box unless your exit is clear. And you read on in that story and you read this amazing thing that as Paul explained to the Philippian jailer and to his household, that the Philippian jailer believed and his household believed and they were baptized that very night. They took a step out beyond the life that they knew into the eternal life that we've shared so much about tonight in baptism. And now he knew. He's not going to die. He's going to live forever. The challenge is that we know we're going to die. But the question is not, am I going to die? The question is, how can I be saved? Do not enter the box unless your exit is clear. And how you can be saved for eternity with a God who loves you so much that he gave his son for you is to do exactly what Paul called the Philippian jailer and his household to do. Believe on the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus. Jesus whose name means he will save his people from their sin. Believe on him, you will be saved. Saved for eternity. An eternity that God made for you to know with him. There's a beautiful kind of turning in this story where you find that Paul and Silas, who'd been beaten so severely, are then brought into the jailer's house. He's baptized, and then you find the jailer, and he's bathing their wounds. What an incredible story. This jailer, who I guess when they first came just made sure they were chained in the deepest part of the dungeon, has now got them in his own house, set free, and he's the one who's bathing their wounds. Not only that, he feeds them. He makes sure that they're fed and they're made a part of his household. And it closes with the story that the jailer's household were filled with joy. Because when Jesus comes in your life, and you might have guessed tonight, one of the great kind of things happens is joy. Joy in him forever. Because God truly wants you to know that and to enjoy it. And it begins now, as somebody said when they're getting baptized. So what must you do to be saved? Is it about 6 or 16 or 60? Or maybe 70 or 80 or 96 years, and then that's it, the box. I want to plead with you tonight. What are you living for? Because I want to tell you this, if you're not living for Jesus, whatever it is, however great and grand and good, if you're not living for Jesus, whatever you're living for is going to kill you. But if you live for him, you'll live forever. Don't enter the box unless your exit's clear. Let's pray. Just in the quietness, the last thing I want to do is scare you into heaven. I don't want to tell you stories about death so that you'd be so frightened you'll want to get saved. The jailer had moved beyond fear. He knew that his life was safe, but he knew he wasn't saved. And I just want you to know that God's love for you is so deep, so massive, that you'll never be able to get a full grasp of it. But the last thing he wants you to do is die as you are now, unless you know his son as your Lord and Savior. God sent his son to die on a cross, to rise from the dead, so we didn't experience and know a lost eternity. He died to rescue us, to save us from death. And he wants you to know that tonight. And I'm just asking you that in a moment of quietness, you would, the prayer that Paul called out to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In your heart, will you pray that prayer right here, right now? This could be the massive moment, just like that night for the Philippian jailer was a massive moment for him. This could be the biggest moment of your life. That as you realize God's love for you is to save you forever. And you've seen these five people sharing their faith, sharing the beginning, the very beginnings of their journey with Jesus. Would you begin that journey tonight yourself? Will you say, I believe on the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of my sins. I believe on him. I ask him to forgive me and come into my life so that I will follow him. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved? Just in your own heart, pray that prayer. And if you know you've prayed that prayer and it's a first-time prayer, we don't often do this at Fullwood, I just feel it's right for me to do it tonight. If you know that's you, I'm just asking you, would you be brave enough to put your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. Nobody else is looking, we're all praying. You put your hand up just before God and say, that's me. Just a physical sign to say, I mean it. I really mean this tonight. And then one other thing I want to ask you to do, that if you put your hand up, then come and grab a hold of Pastor Ian, who's hosted the service tonight and was baptizing with me, or myself, or Sue. Just come and say, I put my hand up tonight. I'd like to know more. I'd like to learn more. I'd like to pray. We would love to share with you. But make this a moment that lasts forever. Will you do that? Don't enter the box unless your exit is clear. God bless you.